Well, it's a dynamic duo, we'll be back again. Nothing back with DJ, you better pack it in. You're lacking sense, trying to tangle with us. Go with the big black bullies in the back of the bus. Just smacking you up, and stealing your lunch money. You're such a buddy, if you look just a touch. Only by the end of the day, that's understandable. What can I say, you got a strong man to be.
Gary has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. Still doesn't know.
Balls Podcast. We're back doing actual topical shit after our episode 400 special.
Which that was fun.
That was, and it will live on forever, and it was almost entirely non-time bound, except for the references to Joe Mazzulla trying to block random people's shot after the whistle.
That deserves to go down in the annals of history.
Yes, that was his horrible anus, his anus horribilis. Well, mind you, his team is, you know, the number one net rating team in the history of bloody basketball, and has already clinched the Eastern Conference and all that kind of shit. But he's still a clown, and nobody trusts the fuckers.
Can I just say that I'm absolutely thrilled to be back on Australia's most Houston Rockets positive podcast.
I don't think we can stretch to that, because we're not entirely okay with Ime Udoka, his particular get down.
No, problematic human being at the top, but some good dudes in the middle.
On a scale from 1 to Chauncey Billups, he's not quite, you know, he's probably a Josh Giddey, but, you know, he's not.
yeah, a Kobe Bryant, perhaps.
No, Kobe did those things. Ime didn't do anything like Kobe.
No, that's true. It was all mostly consensual, I guess.
So. Well, it was a relationship that went to shit. Yeah. And it was the problem was it was a relationship in a work context that went to shit, so it became a HR issue. But the
Rocks are just they're just flying. 11 wins on their own. Now look,
it might not fucking matter.
the schedule has been light, to say the least.
You mean beating like Utah multiple times and various other teams? Mysteriously lucky the best players?
Their last loss was to the Clips on the 7th of March. They then beat the Blazers, the Kings, the Spurs, the Wizards, Cleveland, the Wizards, Chicago, Utah, Portland, OKC. Detecting a theme.
OKC without SGA.
And Utah.
Having said that, they are without Şengün, but
that's right. Unfortunately for me, I like watching the Warriors. I've loved their dynasty. It's been great, but they really need to miss the finals.
It's over.
it's so fucking over.
Put a fork in it. It's fucking done.
Oh, got a fucking half a barbecue's galore's fucking cutlery department hanging out its ass. It's so over. I mean, Draymond's getting himself thrown out of games 4 minutes in. Fucking Steph's trying to hold back tears in the middle of games. It's so fucking over. And yet all they need to do is hold serve. They've won their last three. They actually won the game where Dre lost his shit and sawed himself. They have to do is hold serve. Them and Houston have both got like 9 games left. Houston have to win 2 more games than them because Golden State have the tiebreakers.
Houston's schedule is not friendly. It's Dallas, Minnesota, the Warriors, Miami, Dallas, Orlando, Utah, Portland, and the Clippers.
You don't want to be playing Dallas. Dallas have discovered how to defend basketball.
Yeah. They play the Warriors. It's not a friendly schedule. Like the Warriors, I think, have a really bad one.
Well, the Warriors, things will actually mean it's kind of in their own hands to a certain extent.
And they've got a 2-game lead basically. They're only they're 1 win ahead, but they hold the tiebreaker as well.
So Houston have to win 2 games to clear. They're currently a full win behind, and they need to be a full win ahead.
And look, it's all pretty moot anyway because I think the Lakers are going to beat everybody in the plane, the Kings included at the moment.
Look, there was some horrible news for the Kings just this afternoon. Kevin Huerter is done for the season. He's had surgery on a busted shoulder. And Malik Monk has had a partial tear of a knee ligament, and he's out for 4 to 6 weeks, which means he's out for the entire first round.
If they get there.
They're currently in the eight. They would have to have a fucking terrible time to drop out of the eight. But that just means they get two chances to lose in straight sets. They get to lose. Although, having said that, Phoenix are in the seventh, and they are fucking horrible, Phoenix. They are genuinely horrible.
And they are only one win up. They've played an extra game, but they're calling it the game's back. So they're half a game in front of Sacramento.
But the real gap is that they are two games ahead of the Lakers, who are coming with a wet start, although they did lose their last game, which was, you know, after a lot of wins in a row. So
AD is looking AD at the right time to look AD, which is all they really need, and just some reasonable outside shooting.
AD has resolved to play really well. He has high resolution. He is ADHD.
Yes. Oh, God, jeez.
Huge. That was a Dennis Lilly 1975 run-up for that one.
Oh, speaking of three-point shooting, how about them Celtics? Like, Jesus Christ, can they stop? Like, they shot, I think, ridiculous amounts of things. They won by heaps again today, and the three-point shooting is just ridiculous. Like, and they're beating. Did they beat someone by 60 or something the other day? Did I see that? Or somebody beat somebody?
No, Portland got 60 put on them because Chauncey Billups shouldn't be coaching teams of basketball.
What happened to honor in basketball? Did the in-season tournament just kill that dead this year? You're not supposed to run up 60 point wins. It's not honorable or something.
I would bountifully hope that that's had a bullet put through it, because that's some of the stupidest fucking ego-driven nonsense imaginable.
It is ridiculous. Like, it's absolute. We're professionals. Why do you not want to be?
Well, this is the thing: is Monty Williams, the coach of the so the Knicks beat the Pistons midweek, and Dante DiVincenzo broke a record for the number of threes hit, and Monty Williams was complaining about it. It's like, I don't, you know, that's not the way I would play, you know, they're hitting all these threes, but I don't think that's real. I don't care about this team. And Josh Hart from the Knicks said, well, why didn't you get your team to play better defense and stop him there? And that's always what it comes down to for me. Just fucking play better.
Put four guys on the bloke shooting 23 threes in a game or something like that. Like, why? Like, has anybody else shot the ball? It is funny. I know that they say that scientifically, and I shouldn't use that in air quotes because I actually believe in science and all that sort of stuff, but I don't know how much science is behind this. They say the hot hand is a fallacy. Like, you know, the idea that someone's hot is, you know, is not a real thing. It's just something that we kind of make up.
Yeah.
I don't think that's complete and utter bullshit.
Well, like,
absolute.
I don't know. Depends what you're measuring. I do remember that story. I think I remember listening to a podcast about it. The hot hand is a fallacy, but you can't measure effects on people's confidence. But also, we have mass. I mean, human psyche and survivor bias, and the looking for patterns and shit means that we will always see it when it's there, when we think it's there, and we won't see it when we don't think it's there. So. Yeah. But the thing is, to a certain extent, it doesn't matter. If you think it's working, then it's working.
Why not? That's
right. Placebo effect.
Give the guy the ball, you know. Give him, you know, if he wants to shoot the ball. And, you know, as I said, it's, you know, this is especially basketball, especially of a lot of sports, but I guess it is kind of, is an ego-driven sport, because you have to believe that in amongst a team of 10, 12, whether the bench is 12 deep or whatever like that, you're the guy that's going to put the rock in the hole.
You have to believe that you're better than Kobe Bryant when you're guarding Kobe Bryant.
Yes, that's
right. You might be a better person than Kobe Bryant, which wouldn't be hard, but you could being a better basketball player is a bit more of a challenge.
But that's right. You've got to at least hold him up for a little while and all that sort of stuff. Yes. I think we said this last year, and it wasn't too bad. It's going to be a really good final series again, I hope. Like, it has the potential to be so good.
The playoffs should be good. There shouldn't be. I mean, you have to struggle to find the NBA TV series. Hello, Orlando.
It's 4-5. What's that, 4-5?
If Cleveland drops into the 4-5, then I think there's your NBA TV series, because someone has to be on there.
Yeah, someone has to. Well, yeah, I haven't. It's funny, Orlando and the 5. I actually went looking in the standings and went, Orlando and the Tank again. I haven't heard much of them. I'm like,
no,
the fifth seed.
They're exceptionally good. Jamal Mosley's been getting outside chat for Coach of the Year, because they had that really hot start to the year, and then they kind of stumbled a bit, but now they're back to being, you know, they're decent. They're going to be
They're 46-win team, probably 47-win team.
Yeah, and they're almost certainly going to be in the 4-5. They're very unlikely to drop out for... Because Indiana aren't playing any better than them, and they're a game and a half behind.
Yeah.
And Miami aren't playing well enough to overtake either of them, so... And below that is Philadelphia, who are stumbling around waiting for Joel Embiid to come back.
So is this year, you look at the Heat, so say it's, as it stands as it will, and I think it will stand as it will, perhaps with maybe the 76ers.
The Heat are in exactly the same position they were in last year because they were in the 7-8 play-in game. They lost that, and then they had to beat Chicago.
They just won that. Yeah, they only just won that one too, didn't they?
Yeah, because they, they were down to Chicago, third quarter of the play-in game, and then went on a run from there to the – to the fucking conference finals.
And look, I said, and I'm one of my sort of cousin-in-laws I was talking to last night, he is a massive Boston fan, and I thanked him for his assistance. I know. Look, I thanked him for his assistance with the wins pool this year because that's been awesome. Thanks very much. Which is why I'm also, loving the Rockets at the moment. But I said to him, I said, you guys look awesome. You're doing amazing stuff. I don't trust you. I don't think you'll get out of the East. I don't know why yet. I'm not sure why.
Well, I know why. Like, it's because Joe Mazzulla can't coach and fucking Tatum and Brown devolve into fucking Kobe Bryant, terrible late career Mamba ball. Whenever the pressure goes on, they lose all their structure. I don't know what to do at the end of games, defensively or offensively. And they might have learned how to fix that, but I haven't seen any fucking evidence. And the recent losses have demonstrated that they have, particularly to Atlanta, who they might be playing in the 1-8. I mean, Mazzulla came out and said, look, we deliberately tried to do something different because they switched Porzingis onto, what's his name? Oh, who's the fuck? Murray. DeJounte Murray.
Yeah,
he switched Porzingis onto him because they said, look, his defense never switches, but they thought, oh, we'll switch because it's the sort of thing we might have to do in the playoffs. He was trying to sort of post hoc justify why they'd done something they never do in trying to defend the last play of a basketball game that they proceeded to lose. Good coach.
Yes. So I guess if you're going to do it, maybe the last 10 games of the year while you've got 58 wins is... probably the time to do something stupid.
But why not do it like before the last play of the game? Like if you want to practice switching, maybe roll that shit out earlier than sort of like 47 minutes, clutch 58 time, into the game.
Right. Yeah. I just look at the, like, I wonder with that, like, there's not going to be a 76ers series for them to get beat up on this year though. So maybe that's the way they get out, is that there's not, Miami. Would Miami have beaten them last year if they hadn't had to sort of beat the shit out, have that sort of knife fight with the 76ers?
They still could have Miami or Philadelphia in the 1-8. And I don't think they'd particularly if Embiid suddenly comes back, I don't think they want that.
He's not great when he comes back, though, is he? Like Embiid.
Oh,
like
he's not great, but he's huge.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
He's painful.
Yeah, and he might just be
he's an unpleasant man to have to guard.
He might just be in that kind of fuck you, I feel like winning something this year. Because he's not winning. Oh, yeah, he can't win MVP. He's not going to be first. He's not going to be NBA team. He's not going to be anything. He's just going to be Joel Embiid, basically.
Probably his best chance to win something actual rather than...
Yeah.
Fucking. Yeah, but this is a Daryl Morey team. All they ever win is in-season awards. They never win anything important at the end.
Well, I mean, like, the MVP basically got given to him. Like, it was a bit of a donation, tax deduction from Jokic, who just went, I like horses. So, he'll win it again.
It was like a wins pool bet. He basically got some duty free and mailed it across to him.
Yeah. And look, Jokic will win it again this year, I think.
Like Should do.
Yeah. The interesting one is stuff like, most improved and all that sort of stuff, which is always a bit weird, I find.
Yeah. Like MVP. I mean, they never publish their fucking, like, what does improved mean? What do you have to improve from?
They never show they're working. That's
I mean, second-year players always improve unless or they're out of the league. So should second-year players even be counted as?
And if guys are really bad or really, really, really good and then they're really, really bad and suddenly they're really, really good again, Kristaps Porzingis, I'm looking straight at you, does that count?
Yeah, I mean, there used to be in the NFL, there's a comeback player of the year, which is mostly around people who've come back from serious injury.
Because, I mean, he did his time in Washington as well and played really well there last year.
Well, he probably should be doing time for something or other because there was a, Google it.
Is there anybody that's not,
me?
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, well, that's right, but we don't play
professional
basketball.
I always ask nicely.
My crossover is not great, so, I gave up on that. along that dream a long time ago. I just hear all the jokes. Oh, you know, you play basketball? No. No, the weather was too stupid up there. Anyway.
A strange man.
Look, at the top, Minnesota and Oklahoma at the top of the West.
The West is mad. The West is like, it flipped. It literally flipped overnight because Denver lost. Because Minnesota have these big games against Denver to see who ends up basically the top of the West, because they have two games in the run-in which will dictate who has home court and who wins the, what do they call that, the Northwest Conference. In fact, all these teams are in the Northwest.
Yeah, and Jokic and Murray are out as well in their game for tomorrow.
Yeah, Jokic played in the Minnesota game, but he wasn't like you barely noticed. Odd that it was almost like they just they almost kicked the ball into the head rough, and it wasn't like that. It wasn't a game that they had any reason not to play well in, and it wasn't a game they had any reason not to take seriously. And Minnesota just fucking beat them. Naz Reid is doing a fantastic, is covering for Cat in a tremendous way. In fact, Naz Reid might be playing his way into being a massive contract and or being a very important trade chip. But between then and now, he's doing a fantastic fucking job as a
backup. I hear on No Dunks that they had Naz Reid appreciation night a couple of nights ago, which is just awesome.
Yeah.
Because lots of actual Naz playing in the stadium and people with Naz on towels and all sorts of stuff or jerseys or whatever. I mean,
Yep.
You do you, Minnesota. That's awesome.
Well, you might as well. Well, the only thing about that team that is working is on the court, because off the court, the slightly charlatanious takeover bid of steroid cheat Alex Rodriguez and his money pal Mark Lurie seems to have fallen through, because they continually fail to make payments. And when the existing owner said, hey, you guys keep failing to make payments under the terms of the agreement, that means you're not able to buy the team anymore. They got really upset and say they're going to take it to court. So that's a bit of a fucking clusterfuck, and it means that their ability to make big financial moves might be a little bit hemmed up for the next little while. So they kind of need to win now. Because who the fuck knows what happens next time? Because shit gets very expensive. But literally, in the West now, just for people who won't be paying attention to this, Minnesota 51-22, Oklahoma City 51-22, Denver 51-23. And then a bit of a gap to LA, New Orleans, who seem to be locked into the 4-5. And then Dallas, Phoenix, Sacramento, LA, and Golden State.
With the Rocks banging on that door at 10th, if they can somehow pull out a couple, and maybe they catch a couple, maybe they catch the Mavs. See, the Mavs don't really want to drop either. Like, none of those teams that you're talking about, so like the Clips and the Mavs, none of them want to lose games. Like, there's no coast, there's no one they're going to play apart from Utah and Portland, maybe, that they're going to hit the tank button.
Yeah, there's no sense in trying to tank for it, because Abizo's often, as I ask this occasionally of us in the group chat and also on this podcast, like, who's going to kind of tank or maneuver for seedings? And you don't know, because the top three can change in an instant. So that massively is like, are you trying to avoid Denver's side of the draw? Well, currently Denver's side of the draw is different from what it was yesterday. So
who fucking knows? The only team that really seems to be in the tank, whether that's by their own doing or circumstances or both, is the Raps, who are just falling off a cliff.
They're the only team that are obviously choosing to tank, because they are trying to hang on to their first round pick, which they keep if it lands in the top six. And currently they have the sixth worst record, and Memphis have the seventh worst record, and they've like one game between them. So they have to outsuck the Grizzlies over the next eight games, and obviously it's a lottery, so people can move up and down, but the chances are that they'll retain their pick.
Yeah, Spurs at 18-56.
But the great thing is that at this time of year, normally that sort of chat would be dominating what we talk about.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's not. Like, absolutely. Because shit is lively. Although most people, this is actually the most annoying time of year to be in the NBA discourse, because so many fucking NBA writers go off and want to talk about children's basketball instead, which is tedious and bad, but...
They actually get paid now, though, don't they?
They get paid, but not by the people they should get paid by. They don't get paid by the colleges, the universities. They get paid by third-party sponsors. So they've got the right to go and, sign a deal with the local fucking Toyota dealer and turn up helping to flog cameras.
They get paid for their education. Like, well, at least they're moving on from an education.
At least they're moving on from that idea, that the whole shamateurism mentality they're moving on from. But it did create the casualty of the G League Ignite, which was the kind of the training team the NBA set up as one of the teams in the G League to sort of be an alternative. And that has basically failed, and they're going to shutter it. Because now that students can, there actually is a path for young prospects to get paid something. It was probably more of a competitor for things like the Australian NBL, where you go and play professional basketball and you get paid and you learn how to play in a professional context. The thing is that the G League Ignite was never professional enough. They had like three times the budget of every other G League team, and they were comfortably the worst of all the G League teams. So it was clearly a huge boondoggle and a waste of money. And they didn't actually turn out good. They didn't really improve anybody's draft standing. I mean, the only stars that came out of there were Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga, and you can argue both of them kind of fell in the draft compared to where they should have been taken if they'd just gone to college or something.
Right. Speaking of the NBL, I just noticed that the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers, the best named sports team in the world, because Tasmania just beat Melbourne and won their first NBL title.
Congratulations to the Jack Jumpers. The only thing I saw about that was somebody was tweeting like, they're booing Delhi. Why are they booing Delhi? And I'm like, have you ever watched him play ever? I mean, every team that has ever played Delhi has booed Delhi, because Delhi is like a fucking rabid raccoon aiming at the ankles of your favourite player. Of course you're going to fucking boo Delhi.
And really, if they take him to the Olympics, which they probably will, he'll probably make, he's probably got photos of somebody.
Well, Boomers love a European tour. Boomers love to visit Paris. So, he'll... Yeah.
We need him to do is basically take out SGA in the first, 5 minutes of that pool game, and then we're sweet. That can be him. He can go and, eat a croissant or something like that. He's not in any danger of scoring anytime soon. But, that jump shot...
No, he can't score own goals. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good.
But I mean, that is the problem for us at the Olympics. And look, we are playing some of our guys into some really good form. Everybody's getting, Paddy's getting good court time now.
Paddy Mills is getting a lot more fucking court time than any of the Miami Heat fans expected, which is not a good thing for them, but tough shit.
Yeah, he's still scoring 10, 14 points a game from, whether it's off the bench or anything, because I think he's been out a bit lately, so... why not jump? But he's a good, even so Dyson Daniels is back playing.
Dyson again, Daniels is back for the first time since about 2 months off, actually. He came back.
Josh Giddey.
Didn't go that well in the, he came back for New Orleans in the game that they lost to Boston. Yeah. That was Boston's get-right game after the two losses to Atlanta.
Yeah. But Josh Giddey is currently winning the Fuck You Chet championships because...
His shooting's massively improved. I don't know whether it's a hot streak or whether because his shot still looks fucking horrible. He still looks like those in like a boring accountancy office or something. They might have like one of those little mini hoops over the bin. And you sort of throw your paper in there. His shot looks like that. He looks like a dude trying to flick some paper into a bin from across an office.
I mean, he looks like a kind of guy though that they're actually sending people to guard again, which is probably a win.
It certainly is a win for the OKC ecosystem. I mean, you joke about Chet, but Chet's not quite been... I mean, we're going to look back and say, isn't it funny that we thought Wemby and Chet was a thing? Because Chet's going to turn out to be a really good professional basketball player, but he's not going to be Wemby.
And Wemby might just stop worlds if it all aligns for him and maybe gets on a decent fucking team. But
injuries aside, he will be one of the best players in the league. From say 3 years from now till 13 years from now. I don't think Chet will be like Gordon Hayward, but I mean, there were times where Gordon Hayward got a lot of money and was considered really well. And I think that might be his level. It might just be that I've got a bias against white American players because they've been shit since Bob Cousy, or Larry Bird, to be fair. But
Because I mean, I don't know if it's a wasted year for Wemby. It feels a little bit wasted, but maybe not. Maybe it was just sort of confirming everybody that, he's going to be what you think he can be. But say they get the number one pick again, what do they draft and then what do they buy? Like, do they buy him a good point guard and draft a shooter or someone like that? Or what's the next move for him?
The difficulty is that they'll have a really good pick in a draft that's not regarded as being great. Now, there's always good players in every draft, but it's it's not going to be somebody of
there's no the level of Wemby
or Chet or anyone like that. It'll be on the same level as the guys they've been. I mean, San Antonio have been drafting players, high lottery picks, for a while now.
About 5-6 years.
Right. And none of those dudes have turned out to be shit. So that doesn't give you a lot of faith that I mean, this is the whole undercurrent of the discussion that we had probably about a month ago. Now, like, do we still trust the Spurs to be this kind of organization that can build a winner around Wemby? And I'm not saying I don't, but I'm certainly saying I've got reasons to doubt that, because everyone sort of says, oh, it's the Spurs, institutional wisdom, they've got a track record. No, the people who had the track record aren't fucking there anymore, or they're really, really old and haven't done it for like 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, how long's Wemby got on that first contract? Is it 3 years and then
it's essentially options, seven. I mean, nobody ever turns down the rookie extension. So
what if someone like, you know, I'm trying to think where would be a place that would just splash stupid money at him?
Well, you can't sign him. It's only if they trade you that, you know, right. Essentially you're locked in. I mean, you could decline it and become a restricted free agent, I suppose, but we just haven't seen that because the team that drafts you has a massively unequal opportunity to give you a longer, more money contract. That's kind of the whole thing, is that they want to stop people from getting drafted by these small market teams and then immediately fucking off to somewhere better. Which is extremely anti-capitalist and extremely socialist. Yeah, that's right. These billionaires getting together and doing a socialism for themselves.
Oh, yeah. So how many players are they away from being like an eighth seed?
How many players are on the roster?
Yeah, that's right.
It's that number minus one because they've got Wemby.
It's bad, though. I just feel like I'm watching what could be the greatest player of the generation just go... Like they can't even throw him the ball at the post, for God's sake. Like, I just don't understand. Like, when they throw him the ball at the post three buckets in a row, guess what? They get three buckets.
Yeah.
And I just don't.
But it's almost like they don't want to get fat on that because they want him to learn how to do stuff that's not that. They have won their last three games. But having said that, their last three games have been against all the other teams in the West who are at the bottom who suck. So I don't believe that's a form guide.
Yeah. I bet the Knicks and the Suns and the Jazz, I think, yeah.
Suns are bad, man.
The Knicks one today, is that? Or yesterday?
That was yesterday, and that was...
an overtime game.
That was overtime, and they are taking...
That's the Jalen Brunson game, the 61 Jalen Brunson. Holy shit. Wow. And every time someone scores 60 points, they mostly fucking lose.
Well, that's because what they've done is they've got the one person to try and score all the points. And they said, you can go off for as many as you want, but nobody else is getting a shot here.
But Wemby went 40, 20, and 7. And the good friends at No Dunk say that is a lot of roast beef right there.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a game.
I saw somebody was doing Wemby Scorigami, because Scorigami is something they have in the NFL where they, if a certain score has never happened before, it's Scorigami, like 39 to 11 or something, a score that would be really hard to produce with the way that American football scoring is. And Wemby Scorigami is when he comes up with a stat line that nobody has done, or that only Bill Russell did in 1959 on a Tuesday while eating a sandwich kind of thing.
It's quite funny. A very quiet night on the blocks for him. I mean, only one block. Usually it's like eight or something like that. Like proves something ridiculous.
Suns can't shoot properly. Or was it Suns or was it was that was the Knicks game. That was the Knicks game. Yeah, because the Suns coughed up. Jesus, well, the Suns, man. The Suns are grim.
If Jalen Brunson's scoring 61 points, I'm assuming that Wemby probably wasn't guarding him.
Well, Brunson is he's really good at attacking the paint. And I have seen it's hard to outfox Wemby in the paint, but aggressive guards who can contort their bodies, you know, when they drive, think, you know, Kyrie Irving, those guys tend to go okay against Wemby. Because Wemby, those big levers can cover a lot of territory, but they can't move as quickly as a little guy.
So 10 rebounds, one steal, and three blocks a game. Does that get you on all defensive team?
It gets you in the conversation for defensive player of the year.
I would think so. That's right. I don't think he's going to win it just because I think it's one of those, he'll win plenty of these. Like, you know,
The thing is that it generally goes to the best defensive player on the best defensive team. And the best defensive team this year has been Minnesota. So it's probably, it's Rudy.
Rudy, yeah.
Or it's the Knicks, because the Knicks have been excellent all year. And particularly in the last 10 games, they've had the best defense. But the thing is, with the Knicks, who like, oh, well, like who do you give Depoy to out of the Knicks? Because it's kind of a team defense. It's a,
well,
it's a
well,
team
that's defense. What happened with Boston time when they gave it,
yeah,
to,
they gave
Green,
it to Marcus Smart, which is fucking
Marcus
ridiculous.
Marcus Smart, that's right. Yeah,
Marcus
that's right.
Smart.
It was probably the third best defender on that side. And
yeah,
complete
because
dog
the best
shit
defender
the
went
it,
out. Like. Yeah, exactly right. But the thing, and I said, alluded to this earlier, the remarkable thing is that Dallas in their last 10 games have been the number two defense in the league. And it's like, this is a team with Luka and Kyrie on it.
Who are you and what have you done? It's like an alien, you know, Kodos and Kang kind of body swap or something.
You know,
like
what did they say? That, like, there are phrases they often use in football. Like, there's some people carry the piano and some people play the piano. And there are a hell of a lot of piano. There's a lot of piano carrying going on here. Or as water carrying, as Eric Cantona accused Didier Deschamps of. So they said, you know, you called him the water carrier because it was his job, just to shuttle around in midfield. And his French teams have kind of backed that up. But they required a lot of Dante Exum and Derek Lively and all these dudes to get it done. But they're getting it done. They're doing a fantastic job. And Kyrie
so
and Luka aren't aren't blowing their assignments, which is really important.
So good to see Dante Exum sort of making a go of it too, like, and he, you know,
this is
older,
it's kind of a,
all that sort of stuff.
Well, and also he's been through shit, you know. He had to go and play in fucking Serbia,
he got suplexed by a large Serbian
man. That's right,
he
got that was near the end of his thing. He's like, it might be time to go back to the NBA. WWE shit happened to me.
It's not flare. It's not tears in my eyes. It's tear gas. That's right.
Yes,
so.
Pretty much. But no, that's been great. And that kind of gives you hope that, you know, Ben Simmons is a different sort of guy. But if his back ever sorts itself out, it'd be nice to have him have that kind of journey.
Well, look, if he
go
if
out
he
find
was
himself, fit, come back if, and be great.
If we even had for those, I think he was back for about 12 games, wasn't he, for the Nets?
Yeah,
if we had him in that side for the Olympics, I would almost back us in to get out of that awful pool that we're in. Even though it's going to have Canada and Spain and Italy, it's just.
No.
But it's not going to happen. I don't think without. I just don't think we've got enough offense.
I don't think it's not going to happen anyway. I mean, Italy aren't that good, but they're probably about as good as Australia on a neutral.
Yeah,
court.
But they're not Canada or Slovenia or. I forget who, or Greece, basically. If it's not Luka, it's going to be Giannis, pretty much. I think, because I don't think they've seen. I think it's between Greece, isn't it? Greece and Slovenia, or someone like that. I forget. I remember just looking, going, "Well, that's, you know."
It's no really going to depend on whose NBA team goes long, because you can very much see if Giannis or someone like that, or even Jokic go long. Did Serbia make it? I can't remember.
They have. They're not in our pool, though, I'm pretty sure. But
if those teams go long, even SGA, and if they go long into the season, you're going to. In fact, I think I heard one particular star basically inferring, look, I'm not going to play the Olympics if I'm playing late into June because I simply won't have the juice. I don't like to say this and touch plywood. One of these guys is going to have an injury that puts him out for a couple of months during the playoffs because that's. Statistically, what fucking happens?
Yeah.
And then they won't make the Olympics. They won't have to hang out in fucking Lille or wherever the early season, early round games are being played.
Yeah, no, so the second, it's Australia and Canada are in there, and then there's a qualifying tournament in Greece and a qualifying tournament in Spain. And I think Slovenia is in the Greek one, so it's either Greece or Slovenia.
That's because they didn't play well enough in
so they have they've still got a qualifying tournament to go. I'm just looking.
It can't be Slovenia, didn't they make the final without Luka? Or am I thinking of Serbia?
No, it was. I'm pretty sure it was.
Because I thought everyone in the top four qualified for.
Oh no, I am wrong. Sorry, no. The group in the Greek, it's Slovenia, New Zealand, and Croatia and then Group B is Egypt, Greece, and Dominican Republic. So it is going to come down to Slovenia and Greece there, basically.
Tall Blacks are going to cook them all.
Yes,
I hadn't actually heard what was up with the Tall Blacks. I'd assume they hadn't made it. So,
and the Spanish one has who have we got there? Reading on the internet again, folks. Here, Lebanon, Angola, Spain, Finland, Poland, and the Bahamas. Oh, so where's Slovenia in all? I don't know.
Slovenia should have already qualified.
I thought they Maybe they have qualified, and I just haven't.
Because I thought they were the beaten finalists in the last World Cup. Because they made it a long way without Luka, or am I thinking of Serbia, who made it a long way without Jokic? I don't fucking know. Who cares? Yeah. It's not.
It's Olympic basketball. It's Olympic basketball.
We'll worry about it when the Olympics are on. It's pretty much like, you know, for the Olympics, I only tend to watch it for the things that I would be watching anyway, like cycling, football, and basketball.
The good one will be, I mean, the USA and Serbia are in the same group, which will be fun. France, Germany, Japan, and a qualifier from Latvia, Serbia, Sudan, and USA, and a qualifier from Puerto Rico. So, yeah, maybe the Slovenians aren't there. Who knows? Anywho, we won't be there.
Well,
like come the pointy end of this, there won't be any. You know, there won't be any fairy tale. And look, if there is, all power to them.
Yep.
I mean, who knows what team the Americans are going to send? You know, if Steph Curry is going to be in any sort of shape to, you know, lead that team and, you know, Team LeBron.
Yeah, that's going to be a thing. Or you might have some, like if LeBron and Steph go out in the play-in or immediately afterwards, they're going to have heaps of juice and they're going to have heaps of time to stew and to think.
And they'll probably have Kevin Durant sitting right beside them because the Suns will go out early as well. So,
but we are talking about the best players on the teams ranked 8th, 9th and 10th in the fucking Western Conference. So, I mean, these teams, they're above 500, so they're not joke teams. But, I mean, if they were good enough to be scared of, then they wouldn't be 8th, 9th, and 10th.
And then at the other end of the USA's draw is a guy called Nikola, who might be actually a bit closer to home in Paris as well. So
yeah, because when I think Paris, you know, and I just think Belgrade, you know, twin cities, absolute twin cities.
It's closer than Rocky Mountain High, let's put it that way.
I mean, the French will either win it or they'll spontaneously combust in a dramatic way because it's the French at home. So that'll be what they do. Yeah,
and they've got a guy apparently too.
I mean, would they need at least sort of five to start four the game with?
Maybe four and an outside shooter.
Yeah, it's like what you're asking: how many players the Spurs need? Well, they need at least four more for a starting team, and probably 14 more for an entire roster.
So what they need is to be is the Phoenix Suns, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. So the most important thing that needs to be decided over the course of the next 8 games for each team is whether you can hang on to an 8-point lead in the wins pool.
All I have to type is wins into my browser and it auto-completes that awful address.
Is it wins with a Z? Wins.
No, thankfully. Oh, I'm up again. I'm up 12 games now. And I've actually played more games than other people for the first time.
No, you are up 12. I've counted to the Z.
I've always been like behind on the games.
I'm going to call it.
Metric.
I'm going to call it. Congratulations. Oh. You are the winner. I don't think BZ can make 12 games up in 2 weeks because it is only 2 weeks. Well, it's, you know, 8 by whatever the number is.
If you've jinxed me, I will hunt you down and...
You can't be asked flying over here. That's the advantage of being over here.
Can't get a direct flight anymore.
There are no direct flights anymore. It's a fucking clown show. But yeah, you are 387 wins. Bezos 375 wins. And I am 50 wins below 500. Thanks, Phoenix Suns. I'm so glad I put my faith in you. Actually,
Technically only 24 and a half games behind 500, because if you win 24, then you'll be up.
No, it's the gap. The gap is what you say, below 500.
All right. Well, I'm 36 games in front of 500, which is what... probably the Rocks again have really helped me accelerate away, and probably the demise of I had Philly too. And see if Philly, imagine if Joel Embiid didn't go down, Philly should have been second, third, and that would have, you know, I thought that was where my strength was, having Boston and Philly, and they died in the arsehole. But
look, I think if he'd still been there, they would have found a reason and a way to fuck it up. So this is kind of good because it's
the second round.
They probably would have run into some kind of massive existential crisis because it's Philly. That's what they do. That's who they are.
I mean, I'm all for it too. Like, it's one of those death riding teams. It's like, I look good on you for winning lots of games in the regular season, but go to hell. Like,
I did. I think was it last year? I picked all the teams I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I didn't win. And I thought, well, this time I'll pick all the. But I think my biggest problem was I was actually having a look at the pick order. And by picking second, all the really good teams, like you really wanted the teams in the top six.
You don't. You never got that double hit, did you? Like you only ever picked one.
And you guys both got a sort of a double dip in the first six, and I didn't. So I had a more consistent, like, I would say consistent quality through, but because it's an unequal distribution of quality, and because you know my second and third picks were the Suns and the Warriors, with around teams that are better than them, there's your problem.
It is an interesting thing because I was looking at it yesterday, going, oh, because I've got like I have the Wizards, the Nets, the Hawks, and Houston, and I'm
you guys have enough bad teams that should bring you down, but.
But then I've got Philly, who are eighth in the East, Sacramento, who are eighth in the West. But then I've got the Magic and the Pelicans doing stellar work for me there with 88 combined wins there.
Just five
Cleveland seeds. At third in the East, and Boston, thank you, awful floor.
Yep.
They're going to have a 60 win, the only 60 win season of the comp, basically.
Yeah, and we're not going to see them in the finals, and that's the most hilarious thing.
It'll be Cleveland playing the Nuggets or something like that. Or Cleveland. You know how they talked about last year Denver, Miami being
fucking
the
Knicks, man.
But they want it to be the Knicks because at least that's a big market. Can you imagine a Cleveland Minnesota final series?
Oh, that would be glorious.
It would be great, but the ratings. Why don't you think of the ratings, it's all about the ratings.
The fucking American obsessed with their own fucking navel gazing, not realizing that the more money is made outside of America than inside it. Anyway, so people talking about their wins pool is almost as boring as people reading things on the internet. So we've probably put a pin in this. Any other sporting shit you want to get to before we go?
No, not really.
In that case, I'll edit this bit out.
I thought the statement of intent was good though. The NRL's back. Manly were good, and then now they suck. So I'm lost interest again.
Up the Waz.
Final tickets. Up the
Waz, the sounds are fucking horrible. Yeah. So up the Waz.
That's about it, really. IPL's on. I couldn't give a shit.
Is it?
The IPL started.
Oh, okay. I saw that was like highlights of people in unidentifiable uniforms hitting the ball, and I thought, is that the Pakistani league or the Dubai league or whatever else? Actual, but no, the IPL. Who gives a single fuck except for Jared Kimber, because that's who pays his bills.
Why not? That's about it.
That is it. This was the Bulls podcast. I was Doc. He was Animesh Photo. And we will talk to you again next week with some combination of this week.
See ya.
Gary has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. Still doesn't know.
Very good.
All right. That was good, man. You have. I'm pretty sure you've got it bagged though, because that's only 2 weeks of basketball.
I'm surprised. The last time I looked, I was only like six or seven games up, and that was only a couple of days ago. And I went, oh, who's going to? I looked at my teams and I thought, who's in the tank here? And it's the Raps, so I don't have them. It's usually that's the big rearrangement in that last five games. The teams that are in the tank just teams that shouldn't win start winning. To shitty tank teams.
The other thing that fucks it up is when you have your teams playing other teams of yours, because you only split the point.
Mm. Yeah, there's no net rating, that's right. And somebody else beats another team and they gain a point on you. But I think it still could be close. I don't want to call it yet, but.
I want to call it because I've got no skin in the game and I
no.
No, literally.
I'd
rather you won just because it's different, and also because you fucking lost all the time forever.
I haven't even come second.
It'd be great.
Like
you've been smelling the field like someone at the back of the fucking.
It's like the guy that's sort of at the back of the pool, drowning in the background, suddenly gets lifted out fountain
Eric
style.
Eric Deal with some Barney areas for you.
Trumpets and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
But, you've got first and second. First in the West, second in the East, and then it just gets really ugly. That's where it sort of, 18, 19, your bottom three teams barely have more wins than my top team. Yeah.
And my, 19, 18, no, and because the teams that I need to be second and third and fourth and fifth in those conferences are ninth and tenth.
Phoenix Phoenix probably should have come third if they're on form, or second, or
at the start of the year we were talking about Phoenix as the potential, they will argue for the one seed with Denver. Nobody thought it was going to be Minnesota. Nobody thought it was going to be OKC. I mean, we all thought this might be the year that the OKC make a jump, but I don't think any of us thought they're going to make a jump to be the one fucking seed.
And you've got Minnesota in the year that they're going to be a 55-win team. Like, it's just like...
Yeah.
Okay.
When I picked them, I picked them 11th.
And Bezo got the and this is the thing. Bezo got OKC on their 55
on the 12th, yeah,
as well. And Denver and the Clips,
because the order was Nuggets, Bucks, Celtics, Sixers, Suns, Knicks. Bezo got the Knicks that early. Lakers that early. I'm surprised Bezo's still in this competition. Warriors, Kangs, Cavs.
But it just shows you how much having like the Spurs. Like he's got the two worst teams in the league, and 31 wins between those two sides.
The difference has been this year is your worst team how bad is your worst team? And if you have your worst team is like a 20 win team, you're fucked. If your worst team is a 30 win team?
My worst team is Washington at 14, but then it's 29, 34, 38, 39, 42, 43, 45, 45 and 58. It's, you know, I'm only going to have one team below 30 wins.
Yeah, I have an 18-win team, a 19-win team, and a 23-win team. And that probably is
not going to get any better in the next 12 games either.
Oh, no. I like Toronto, so I want them to hang on to their pick. So, you know, there's nothing that I can – that can happen for – probably for the last 3 months.
I'm amazed that Toronto's starters are still turning up, like, to be honest. Like,
I don't even know if they have starters. I mean, Portland, they're just rolling out – like five rookies every day, and some of them are like people you've never met before. Some people, basketball before.
Here's a guy we can say, can you shoot? I'm going to go refresh the drink and see what's going on. We'll be back directly.
Back at the top of the hour.